his final performance, his final competition, he took it all, and it was just a real sweet moment for a lot of us.
Glacier Bears and Panthers take top titles at a state competition. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. The Northern Lynn Canal is home to a handful of the state's best high school level public speakers and performers. Panthers and Glacier Bears are home from the final drama debate and forensics meet of the season, the state tournament in Anchorage. Out of 19 schools of the tournament, many of them the state's biggest 4A schools, Skagway's team was likely the smallest one at the competition. Schools are allowed to bring a maximum of 15 kids to state. The Panthers sent three, along with coach Tegan Baldwin.
And places like Haynes, even though they don't have very many students like we do, still have really good representation. But I think we were the smallest group there.
Alexis Greaser placed fifth for her oration and got an invitation to compete at a national competition in the spring. Senior Brandy Mayo got sixth place for her extemporaneous commentary and is runner-up for an invitation to the same national competition, which she participated in last year.
That's pretty good. Only three students, and one of them definitely is invited to the national tournament, and the other one has potential.
We did very well. We came in third overall in 3A, which is not bad.
Gershon Cohen, along with Karen Meisner and Tim Shields of Haynes, traveled to Anchorage with the Glacier Bears team.
We came in second place in drama, which was great, and we came in first place in debate speaking. Chris Bowman was ranked the number one public forum speaker in the state of Alaska, and that, again, includes 4A.
Okay.
So that's very, very impressive. You know, what can you say? That his final performance, his final competition, he took it all, and it was just a real sweet moment for a lot of us.
The Glacier Bears came in behind Sitka, a high school with a student population nearing 400, and Whitestone Farms Training Center, a small private school in Delta Junction with a powerful reputation in DDF.
We usually come in the top three. And, you know, frankly, I think that we could actually give Whitestone a run for their money. But this year we only brought 10 kids. We had a small team. And when you don't bring as many kids, you can't enter as many events because the kids are only allowed to do three events maximum.
But Haynes has held a reputation for their unique style, which entertained at the state level as well as it has in community events and regional competitions this year.
Our pieces tend to be much more interesting, much more fun for the audience. Some of the teams really focus, you might say, in a more mechanical way in order to do really well in the competition. But you watch the pieces and, frankly, you're often not that entertained. Or not even that amused, even for what are supposed to be funny pieces. But technically, some of the schools just do an excellent job. And we tend to, it's not that we're not trying to be technically good, but we have a lot of fun doing what we do.
And that's the characteristic that won four Haynes students a first place among all schools in the state for a theater performance that Cohen says slayed the crowd.
I mean, the judges were rolling on the floor. I mean, you know, there were other pieces that were technically more precise as readers, where it was just boom, boom, boom. You know, the syncopation was just perfect. They were like a, you know, like a professional drill team. You know, if you were seeing them dance, that's the way these kids were in Reader's Theater. But when it came down to it, people weren't entertained. And so Haynes, which did an amazing job on, you know, the folks in that Reader's piece, Airplane, just did the best job they've ever done by far, which was wonderful to see that it happened in the finals. But in addition to that, it was hilarious.
Royal Henderson, Cassie Galasso, Chris Bowman, and Brennan Whittermore were part of that piece that took first. Tia Haywood took fifth in expository speaking. Elena Horner got third in solo acting, and was asked to perform her piece for the crowd. Three other pieces were next in line to make the finals. Haynes coach Cohen was appointed to chair a committee that will review the rulebook for state-level DDF judges during the annual coaches meeting, where several of the state's coaches complained about judges' performances. A talent show in April will help the Haynes team raise money for next year's DDF travel. DDF hosts the event and performs in between acts from community members.
I think this year's theme is going to be Monty Python. So we'll be doing little pieces like the Ministry of Silly Walks and things like that as we bring up the different contestants in the talent show. And then we're also going to have a sushi dinner that was a big hit last year.
Unlike most other extracurricular activities, DDF kids compete against students in all divisions in order to make it into finals. It's there that they rank the teams according to division. The activity is supported in various capacities throughout the state. Many schools can't support it at all, while others offer classes in it. Skagway took the issue up in recent years and debated whether or not to fund an activity with so few students in it. In the end, the school held on to the program. Again, Coach Tegan Baldwin.
I am definitely an avid supporter. I think it is the single most important after-school program provided in our area. It is a challenge not just for the kids who are physical, which most after-school programs are, but it prepares them for things that they will have to do in college, things that they need for if they want to go into politics or public speaking. It's very socializing. It's very intellectual. You not only have to go there and write a paper and memorize a speech, but you also have to present yourself in a very professional manner with a large group of people who are trying to do the exact same thing. It's preparedness for going out into the real world and making a presentation of yourself, not just what you can do. It's a great program.
Skagway DDF will also be holding fundraising events to pay for sending one, but possibly two students to the National Catholic Forensics League Grand National Competition in Washington, D.C. in the spring. One of the fundraisers will be a display of their work and a dessert auction on April 3rd. The new head of Alaska's Marine Highway System has been flying over and sailing through Alaska waters for years. Captain Michael Neusel commanded large in-state operations for the U.S. Coast Guard, but he also has a personal connection with the ferries. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld filed this report.
The first time Mike Neusel got on the ferry, he was transferring north after being stationed in Astoria, Oregon. It was a long enough time ago that the system's southern terminus was in Seattle, not Bellingham, Washington.
Took vehicles on there, whole family, and actually took our dog with us up there, so an enjoyable first trip, and every time I moved either into or out of the state of Alaska, or actually within the state of Alaska, we used the ferry system, and I thoroughly enjoyed every single trip.
Neusel's 30-year journey through the Coast Guard ranks took him to Sitka, Kodiak, and Juneau, as well as Hawaii and Florida. While he liked riding the ferries, he learned to appreciate their role in mariner safety. He saw that in practice as chief of the service's statewide search and rescue operations.
Coast Guard resources are quite limited in where they are and when they're out on patrol and whatnot. So having the ferry system out there, another professional mariner is certainly a helping hand. And the Alaska Marine Highway System has definitely helped the Coast Guard in many rescues.
The Juneau resident retired from the service last year and enrolled in the University of Alaska's Masters of Arts in Teaching program. He student-taught at the middle school level and says he enjoyed the work. But he decided full-time teaching was not what he wanted to do. So when Transportation Commissioner Mark Lucan approached him about the job, he decided to apply. Neusel, currently visiting Florida, doesn't start as Deputy Commissioner for Marine Operations until March, so he's not ready to talk too many specifics yet, but not surprisingly, he shares the goals of his new boss.
Undoubtedly, safety and reliability is utmost. We need to have a safe and efficient transportation system that services the community of Southeast Alaska, and that's my primary goal, is to make sure that that will continue.
He takes over the job from Jim Beadle, a hands-on manager who recently retired after 37 years with the ferries. Day-to-day operations continue to be run by General Manager John Falvey, who is based at Ketchikan headquarters. That leaves Neusel, who will stay in Juneau, with political duties. He says he's worked with citizens' organizations, such as advisory groups in Prince William Sound and Cook Inlet, and appreciates their value. And he says appealing to administration higher-ups in the legislature is not a foreign routine.
My last and final tour in Alaska was as the chief of staff for the 17th District, you know, number two to the admiral, but oversaw the entire district and its operations, and very familiar with making the needs of the service known in an appropriate manner, fact-based, and I hate to use the word lobbying, but lobbying for what we needed in order to maintain our efficiencies in service.
The new ferry system chief says he knows the fleet is aging and some ships need to be replaced or undergo major repairs. Neusel, who holds two engineering degrees, supports the effort to build Alaska-class ferries designed for shorter routes.
The ferry system serves Southeast Alaska communities that are not, you know, days apart, but hours apart sailing, and not having cabins and making it functional for those communities, I think is a good thing because that's the communities that they serve.
He also wants to find a way to keep the fleet's two fast ferries sailing. They're facing engine problems that could ultimately sideline the vessels or require costly repairs. Neusel says his Coast Guard work and time in the state give him a lot of knowledge on some of the issues he'll face in his new job. But he also realizes he's no expert.
It's not my background. I'm ridden it. I'm familiar with it from the passenger point of view. And from a little bit of the operations point of view as to how it runs, search and rescue and those types of things. But obviously I have a lot to learn. I'll admit that right up front.
Neusel takes over during a reasonably stable time for the Marine Highway System. The schedule has been relatively fixed for several years, and funding has been fairly stable. But he's also taking over a politically sensitive position where appointees have averaged less than 2 years in the job. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
I'm Tara Bicknell for KHNS.